hidden things that lie in wait. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom. This is Lou Caverly, and it's March 3rd, 2022.
And this is Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly. Lou and I give thanks to Jesus Christ, our Savior, and to you wonderful listeners of the Divided Kingdom radio program who are giving so sacrificially recently to keep us on the air as we're going into March 2022. We also thank WWCR, Liberty Works Radio Network, Global Star, and K-Star Talk Radio for carrying our program. Consult their websites for program days and times.
We also thank our webmistress, Angel, for her tireless work of excellence on our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Be sure to tell others to go to our listening archives to hear past programs and also read our vital essays under Breaking News.
If anyone would like to help us keep bringing you this cutting-edge information and Christian witness, all without saddling you with frequent annoying commercials, you can send cash, money orders, or checks. Checks cannot be made out to Lou or me, but must be written to WWCR or to Global Star Communications. We give heartfelt thanks to Todd Waite for Global Star Communications producing our program. He has been producing our program with great sound quality since July 2011.
And now we jump right into the latest breaking bombshell in our program. World War II. Whoops. That is World War II. Whoops. Neocon.
You know,
crazy.
Lou, yes. There is a double meaning there. These loud, shall we say, savage war cries by neocons who never went to war, most of them. These loud, before a tomahawk would take off your scalp, pretty much. We picture this sound. But the other way, the meaning is an accident. Whoops.
That's
whoops,
right.
So sorry. But nuclear war is not something to be taken that lightly. Go ahead with that title.
Yes. And you'll find this, by the way, at our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, posted under the heading Breaking News. World War III, War Whoops, Neocons' Crazy, Demented Nuclear Destruction Dream? A radio dialogue between Lou Caverly and Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly.
March 3rd, 2022. More hidden things that lie in wait. Is World War III one of them?
One of the things that lies in wait for us could be full-blown nuclear, perhaps not nuclear, but World War III.
Perhaps it will be nuclear.
Yes, we don't know. We certainly hope not. And we pray that this long-range, 100-year-old Illuminati plan that Masonic leader Albert Pike wrote about to Giuseppe Mazzini will not occur. Here are a zigzag of warning bullet points we've heard in recent days. Recall Hawk's prior radio show warnings about possible Spetsnaz with suitcase nukes being hidden in places like the TVA region near Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and possible Russian submarines in the Great Lakes region.
Christian commentator Stuart Best, on his program Night Shadows, February 27th, announced that the dark night when no man can work may be near. YouTube has completely removed his salvation witness that Jesus Christ is the only way, Angel Fall, Night 23. Best commented that truth cannot exist in the New World Order. It's all lies and delusions. We may even be entering the 70th week of Daniel by this September. Stuart Best says, quote, the New World Order has no idea of the power of Jesus Christ.
Best warns that the situation is DEFCON 2, that Russians have taken out their ICBMs. That means they are in a state where buttons can be pushed rapidly. Financial and political insider Paul Craig Roberts says a wider war may be in progress.
Apparently there is, according to Stuart Best, a 100-year-old rabbinical prophecy that America will go to war with Russia. Supposedly, Nostradamus also has a prophetic war warning for June 2022. But listeners, we must warn you of the occult underpinnings of the Nostradamus prophecies. And again, Larry, the call-in colleague of Stuart Best, interestingly informed Best that his research shows that the Clintons and George Soros helped take down Putin's guardianship of Ukraine.
Stuart Best declares that he believes the UN is the fourth beast of Daniel, rising to power. He reminds us of the State Department Memorandum 7277 that has been around for decades. Under this disarmament for America, the UN will hold all the weapons.
Mike Adams's February 28th situation update aligns with Best in warning of NWO false flag attacks to bring in this total global government police state. These are Adams's words, quote, "We are all in urgent danger due to the planned escalation of the conflict with Russia, as I've warned dozens of times. The persistent plan from Biden/Obama has been to maneuver Russia into a position where Putin would decide to nuke the United States, or where a false flag could be blamed on Russia. This would bring about Obama's long-desired destruction of America, and any survivors would be subjected to a dictatorial, wartime, authoritarian regime which would nullify the Bill of Rights and Second Amendment under, quote, emergency power."
And, Elizabeth, I have a little other section that we were trying to find, so I'll read it now. Mike Adams goes on to list more possible repercussions, including bank runs and financial collapse, global food supply situation turning into starvation, and famine, with food riots on a global scale as scarcity worsens. The worst scenario is that we may be on the verge of global nuclear war. And this is Alou speaking, that will happen if Biden and the NWO nincompoops keep pushing Putin further out, even more than the swift cutoff sanctions against Russian banks.
And, of course, Putin himself has gone farther. And we cannot condone citizens of the Ukraine being killed in all of this. No, we can't. But originally, we had a lot of sympathy for Russia because just as when the West went into Georgia and the AP, in one little article we had, did tell the truth that the West, NATO, went in there first. It wasn't Putin. It was not Russia, because this was a Russian enclave from historically many years before. So this was traditional, and we know that a lot of people do speak Russian in Ukraine. So we bugged Putin to the point, putting everything on his borders, all of these things, to the point where we got what we wanted. The neocons got what they wanted. So now we have to wait it out, and we have to hope that Putin has some caring for his people. Supposedly, he promotes Christianity. I don't think that he really wants nuclear war. I certainly hope and pray not. And, Lou, before we go on any further, Mike Adams has listed another thing that he thinks will be attacked if something is, and that would be the cyber structure. And if the grid went down, and you were looking at something interesting, we might give more details at a later time, but Mike had given us reference to a kind of a very easy primitive stove that you could use outdoors. Why don't you tell the listeners what you know so far about it?
Yes, I'd have to look at his diagram, which you can find, by the way, as a video on one of his essays at naturalnews.com, dated, I believe, yesterday's date, March 1st. It could be, I should say 2 days ago, March 1st. Could be February the 28th. It's one of those two. And it consists simply of four cinder blocks arranged the right way, and you have to look at the picture to see the arrangement.
What did you describe, basically?
Yeah, basically it's, I think, if I remember rightly, it's two blocks in the bottom, one in the middle and one at the top. Now, I may have that wrong. I think one of them is turned sideways. Again, you
when you
really
say
have
two on the
it.
Bottom, do you mean they're flat next to each other?
Yes.
And then
so.
is there one on the top in the middle of those two?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I just thought quickly.
Now, I don't want to mislead anybody hearing this, so the best bet is go to that website, naturalnews.com, either February 28th or March 1st, and look down and find out his advice about cyber, you know, as surviving a cyber attack.
You may look at it more carefully, but in case something happened, you just tell him generally how you understand it would work.
Well, what you would do is you'd put the wood in one of the holes. Cinder blocks could have holes in them. On the bottom, put the wood, or it might be the second one up, now that I think about it. And the wood would, you know, burn in there, create the heat, and then on the top of the upper cinder block, you would have some sort of a little...
like a shelf.
Metal plates.
Yeah, metal plates.
Some sort of a little thing like a stove might have just to put a pan on top of. And the heat would go up through there into the pan.
I think it's very simple, but very clever.
Yeah, very.
So,
very.
You know, we'll keep watching this situation, and probably there'll be more. Was there anything else that he had to say, or is that pretty much it?
That's all that I looked
at. Then
he had
some
other things, though, so I would advise those listening to check it out.
Yes, but that's all we had.
Yes.
Tyranny is here right now, even without World War III, because here's another shocking alert. Every man, woman, and child in America will be chained in great medical tyranny in the years ahead if your family, friends, and neighbors are not made aware of what's happening by stealth. And I have to add here again, on the Stu Peters show, and this would have been on March 1st, I believe, there was still another unfortunate case of a poor woman with her husband entrapped in a hospital in Fairfax, Virginia. And again, they want this death protocol observed so that these hospitals can get this $40,000 to put anyone they can entrap on a ventilator. And then if he dies, he or she dies, they get $100,000. So we're seeing what Stu Peters called thousands of emails he's getting all over the country that hospitals are doing this. This is dreadful. This dwarfs anything that Joseph Mengele and the medical complex of Hitler ever did to their civilians, certainly. It ranks right up there with everything that happened during the Holocaust in the camps. So this poor woman was discussing how her husband had lost 50 pounds, and he was a Christian. He was a Christian. You need to pray for this woman. Perhaps Stu Peters can do something the way his program and affiliated people helping him got several other people out of hospitals and put them under the care of real doctors, real hospitals who wanted to save their lives. But we would advise you, again, be as careful as you can not to have injuries or anything that take you to the hospital, because you can be grabbed. And I think in this case, Lou, didn't the wife say that he had a couple negative tests for COVID?
Yes, she did. Yes, and they ignored those, as you might expect, because they don't want negative tests. They want to get somebody in there into their clutches.
And then they eventually kept her from ever going to see him. That's the other part, the isolation, so they can go in for the kill. So we're just warning you, and we hope that you will get the word out to others as God leads you. We want this program to reach many hearts and souls and minds, warning not only of these dangers, but that we have an eternal soul. And each of us will die. That includes George Soros. That includes Bill Gates. They will all go just the way the Rockefellers went. Nelson Rockefeller and David the Kingpin went. So we don't know where they are, heaven or hell. We don't know where any people really are who have left this earth. But we trust that those who accepted Jesus Christ and repented of their sins were taken as his special person that he loved to heaven. When I say that, we can say that because Buddha was not known for being even a live God. He's dead. He was not known for being a personal friend or savior. But But, you know, from the time we were little, Lou, I'm sure you sang Jesus Loves Me, didn't you?
Absolutely. Yes,
yes,
sure did.
Small children, we benefited from Sunday school. And Sunday schools are kind of dying out, but we still have the church pastors who sadly, during this time, for whatever reason, were under the delusion that they should advise their parishioners to get the aborted fetal cell-derived COVID vaccine shots. This is just an anathema to Almighty God. So now we're moving on now. We're giving you this alert, and please tell others to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and to look under Breaking News for our latest essays. The Gateway Pundit, The Great Reset, National Vaccine Passport, rolled out in 21 states and more are joining, including red states, by Jim Hoft. This was February 26th. Back in January 2021, the Gateway Pundit reported on the digital COVID vaccination passport system being worked on by Big Tech and Big Pharma. These groups were working on a, quote, vaccine passport that identifies if you have been properly vaccinated before you travel. Clearly, individual rights were not their concern. Breitbart.com reported at the same time, a coalition of tech and health organizations, including Oracle, Microsoft, and the Mayo Clinic, is reportedly working to develop a digital COVID-19 vaccination passport that would allow businesses, airlines, and governments to check if individuals have received the vaccine. The Hill reports that a coalition of health and technology organizations are working to develop a new digital COVID-19 vaccination passport that could be checked by businesses, airlines, and countries to confirm if an individual has received the vaccine. The coalition includes tech giants such as Microsoft, Oracle, along with the Mayo Clinic. Then in March of 2021, the Biden administration announced they were working on vaccine passports so Americans can prove they've been inoculated. The Washington Post reported at the time that the Biden administration was coordinating with multiple government agencies in developing a system that would impact many aspects of life. The Post, citing five officials who spoke on the condition of anonymity, reported the effort, quote, has been driven largely by arms of the Department of Health and Human Services, including an office devoted to health information technology. This week, we have learned that electronic vaccine passports are quietly being rolled out and red states are participating. Forbes reported, even as the Omicron variant loosens its grip on the world, destinations continue to require travelers to show proof of vaccination, and increasingly, a paper CDC vaccination card is not cutting it. While the United States government has not issued a federal digital vaccine pass, a national standard has nevertheless emerged. To date, 21 states, the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, offer accessibility to the Smart Health Card, a verifiable digital proof of vaccination developed through the Vaccination Credential Initiative, VCI. Now, listeners, we've mentioned this before, that from the cradle to the grave, you may be in this system. This is the Smart Health Card, and it's being developed through the VCI, which is the Vaccination Credential Initiative, a global coalition of public and private stakeholders, including Microsoft, Salesforce, Oracle, the Mayo Clinic, and other health and tech heavyweights. And very soon, at least four more states will be rolling out access to smart health cards. We've seen a notable uptick in states that have officially launched public portals where individuals can get verifiable vaccination credentials in the form of smart health cards with a QR code, says Dr. Brian Anderson, co-founder of the VCI and chief digital health physician at MITRE. That's spelled capital M-I-T-R-E. And so a lot of these states, you see, are already in this. This is a frightening new tool for the globalist left to control the population. Americans need to wake up quickly.
Were U.N. troops used as Canadian cops during Trudeau's authoritarian response to the Freedom Convoy? This is by J.D. Hayes, February 25th, from Natural News. Stunning video posted online this week appears to confirm reported rumors that China-loving Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, a quote-unquote graduate of the globalist World Economic Forum's Youth Leaders School, used U.N. troops to tyrannically put down the Freedom Convoy protest in Ottawa. Previously, as Natural News reported, Canadian police were photographed wearing uniforms. And once again, the word police there is in quotes, meaning maybe they weren't the regular police. So they were wearing uniforms that did not have name tags or badge numbers, meaning they were totally anonymous, even as they violently confronted and arrested truckers and their Freedom Convoy supporters over the weekend. Now, according to video clips posted at Sons of Liberty Media, Canadians have confirmed that UN-marked aircraft have landed at nearby airports, lending more weight to the previous reports of UN troops on Canadian soil at Trudeau's request.
Let's interject again. Remember, Stuart Best said that the fourth beast of Daniel will be the UN. So we're seeing now a little more than we saw years ago when Michael New stood up against putting on that blue helmet.
That's exactly right.
Pick it up.
Yes. Says one man taking a video, quote, "I wonder where all those cops in Ottawa came from," adding that there is no snow on the plane, though it has been snowing in the area for days. And he goes on to say, "Perhaps this is the reason that the goons in Ottawa on Saturday had no badges or names on their uniforms and were demonstrating their cruelties to peaceful protesters," the Sons of Liberty media speculated, adding, quote, "It may also be why Nazi traitors in the RCMP are encouraged in their own tyrannies against their own people, as reported on Saturday when members of the RCMP applauded the trampling of an older woman and others with horses ridden by the RCMP thugs," unquote. And you can watch a video of Ottawa police assault Alexa with their baton for recording them. This was 15 minutes prior to those same officers shooting her point blank with a riot gun. Quote, "Be aware, these devils may be showing up not with traditional blue helmets, but impersonating a city's own police force. It's criminal and it's treasonous," the report added. Trudeau has been blasted by members of Parliament over his invoking the Emergencies Act to crack down on the anti-COVID-19 vaccine protest, and has been criticized by civil libertarians in Europe and the United States as well, though not a peep of protest has come from the Biden administration, which is set to deal with its own trucker convoy later this week. The Prime Minister, and this is in quotes, "The Prime Minister of Canada, the way he's behaving right now, is exactly like a tyrant, like a dictator. He's like Ceausescu in Romania," Member of Parliament Christine Turris of Romania said during a speech to the European Parliament in Brussels. She went on to say, "If you raise doubts about the vaccines, you're outcast. What's the difference between what he does and what's happened under the Inquisition?" On one side, they say, "Well, we should not believe in God," Therese says. And continuing, she compared the 12th century Catholic Church's effort to find and eliminate so-called heresy in Europe and the Americas. She said, "But on the other hand, they say, believe in science, instead of Western governments. We don't have to. Science is not about belief. Science is about measurements, conclusions, hypotheses, and arguments," unquote. And she went on to say, he went on to offer his support for the Canadian drivers. Quote, "I hope this movement for freedom and for rights is spreading all around the world," he said, "because at the end of the day, we have to make sure that those elected officials understand that they were elected into those offices for the people, not to behave like masters of slaves. Conservative Party members can stand with people. Now, these are the words of Trudeau. Conservative Party members can stand with people who wave swastikas. They can stand with people who wave the Confederate flag, Trudeau said, eliciting outraged responses from other members of Parliament. He went on to say, we will choose to stand with Canadians who deserve to be able to get their jobs, or to get to their jobs, to be able to get their lives back. These illegal protests need to stop, and they will, unquote. Is the use of UN jackbooted thugs standing with the Canadians, unquote? And let me interject, for some months, Hawk on his Global Star radio show has been warning of other than UN troops possibly lying in wait, a scenario of hidden Russian Spetsnaz or undercover Russian GRUs who could have suitcase nukes and may have been spotted near Gatlinburg, Tennessee, plus and near the TVA authority, plus another scenario of a possible bringing in of Russian submarines via yachts to the Great Lakes. Cal Cuppet documented for years foreign troops and our military bases. The late Colonel Stanislav Lunev, Russian defector to the U.S., told of just such a plan to have Russian Spetsnaz and suitcase nukes pre-positioned in America before war or invasion.
And yes, Lou, now we move to the tyranny of the political process. We've all been disgusted to see the reemergence of Mike Pence and Mike Pompeo in their new public pronouncement appearances. We're not fooled by their new so-called patriotism, particularly sanitized in the case of Pence because of the treason that went along with not defending the 2020 stolen election results as being not authentic and the Constitution being destroyed. Can anyone say Masonic coin slipped into Pence's pocket? But to those who were also far beyond sadness or despair when Pence and Pompeo's boss said his goodbye to the American people without one word about the stolen election, that was Trump. Yes, yes, there are more hidden things that have been lying in wait for us to find out. And here is the headline, Natural News Friday, February 25th, by Ethan Huff. Leaked emails show that Trump, via Operation Warp Speed, drove global racketeering and collusion behind COVID vaccines. Dr. Jane Ruby. Some diehard supporters of Donald Trump remain in denial about the former president's primary role in unleashing Wuhan coronavirus, quote, vaccines, on the world as part of Operation Warp Speed. They say that he had no choice and that people were demanding the shots as a way to escape lockdown. But were they? Leaked emails obtained by Team Enigma show that Trump was colluding and conspiring with Pfizer, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, and numerous other prominent regulatory agencies in Europe and the United Kingdom to fast-track his injections to market before there was even any, quote, science done on them. Dr. Jane Ruby unpacked all this on a recent episode of her program, which you can watch from Brighteon below. This video is from channel Pure Trauma 357 on Brighteon.com. The three agencies in particular that played a key role in the scam include the FDA, the EMA, European Medicines Agency, and the MHRA, which is the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency in the UK. Prior to the COVID crimes and hoax, the process for approving and regulating what medicines you take has been based in whatever time it took for a panel of experts who are specialized in a particular area that drug relates to, Ruby explained. And they look to confirm the safety and efficacy of that new entity from the proper trial design, the proper trial duration, and the execution of those studies. Team Enigma has come into possession of leaked emails across these agencies that looked like they were working to meet an outside deadline, one that could have been set by President Trump's warp speed and his administration in alignment with Pfizer. And it was Pfizer itself, of course, that ensured its own legal indemnity. At least 140 prominent, quote, experts were involved in Trump's COVID jab racketeering scam. Ruby spoke with Team Enigma's Sasha Latapova, who revealed that 140 different people were identified in email exchanges between these agencies and Pfizer. Most of them are from the EMA, and all of them are medical experts and professionals. And again, listeners, we told you that the EMA is European Medicines Agency. There are plenty of red flags that any of them could have been identified, or excuse me, that any of them could have identified. They have the training. They are not lay people, Latapova revealed. And surprisingly, all of it got shoved through the door very quickly. Rapid approval. It turns out that Trump set a deadline for the release of the shots that had nothing to do with proper safety testing. And these agencies basically obeyed his and Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla's orders and prodding to get the approvals done at warp speed, no matter the cost to human life. Quote, they're telling each other that, oh, FDA is going to speak with MHRA in 3 hours, and maybe that means that they're going to approve faster, Latapova further explained. All three separate agencies coordinating by emails, separate governments, separate continents, all paid by different taxpayers coordinating around the same outside deadline. Lou, we can see that the centralization of the New World Order is really astounding, especially in this medical complex, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and it has one result that you cannot get treatment that your doctor prescribes for you anymore. You go to a hospital, you will get this treatment coming down from on high.
The death protocol.
Yes.
Because this is the genocide dictated by the elite. Now, back to the article. In the old days, neither the FDA nor any other regulatory agency would ever commit to a deadline for approval. It goes against the principles of what a regulator does. But things appear to have changed dramatically under Trump.
Not only is it FDA, but it's MHRA and EMA. And they are referring to President Trump, who already by that time had lost the election, and it seems that they're all still working on his timeline. So that's shocking. That's completely shocking, Latapova said. And she continued, the emails clearly refer to that, to at that time, Health and Human Services Secretary Azar and Trump as being the, quote, drivers of the timeline, unquote. There are numerous emails that refer to these specific deadlines and timelines, and even emails saying that if we don't meet this timeline, it's going to be extremely, extremely difficult for all of us, things of that nature. And they mean timeline for approval, unquote. In other words, Trump and Bourla were pushing the FDA, the EMA, and the MHRA to approve the injections at warp speed before seeing any of the data, let alone any conclusive data or evidence. That is why they were all, to quote Latapova, quote, obsessed with meeting the timeline, unquote. At one point, Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla flat out lied to the FDA about what the European agencies were doing in an attempt to pressure the agency for even faster approval. Latapova says, quote, it seems like the hierarchy went Pfizer CEO, then President Trump, then Azar, then FDA, then EMA, and then MHRA. There was no process. They just went and created one. They adapted, and that's in quotes, they adapted the rules to fit Trump's timeline to rush out a random product, unquote. Be sure to watch the full interview above to capture the full essence of the severity of what has taken place, and more importantly, who it was who did this to us, namely Trump. And now, we have writer Jack Bingham. And he had this headline at LifeSite News, Friday, February 25th, 2022. DNA found in coronavirus was patented by Moderna 3 years before the pandemic. Researchers say, quote, there is a 1 in 3 trillion, that's with a T, trillion chance, Moderna's sequence randomly appeared through natural evolution. Giving additional evidence to the lab leak theory, a chunk of DNA found in the coronavirus shares an identical genetic sequence to a sequence patented by Moderna 3 years prior to the planned, I should say, pandemic. We could also say plandemic there. In an interview with Fox News host Maria Bartiromo, Moderna CEO Stefan Bancel admitted to the possibility that the coronavirus pandemic started after gene modification experiments led to the infection of lab workers. The statements came after Bartiromo asked him to comment on how it is possible that researchers discovered that coronavirus contains DNA with an identical genetic sequence to patents filed by Moderna 3 years before the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. What did Moderna know, and where did they know it? Quote, now scientists find the virus contains a tiny chunk of DNA that matches sequences patented by Moderna 3 years before the pandemic began, said Bartiromo. Your reaction, Stefan. What can you tell us? My scientists, and this is Stefan speaking, my scientists are looking into those data to see how accurate they are or not, replied Bancel. As I've said before, the hypothesis that this came from a lab by accident is possible. Humans make mistakes. It is possible that the Wuhan lab in China was working on virus enhancement or gene modification, and then there was an accident where somebody was infected. It is possible, unquote. The discovery of cover-ups, both surrounding the origin of the coronavirus as well as the nature of the COVID shots, has led to widespread skepticism surrounding normally trusted institutions and industries. After Moderna and Pfizer mRNA injections had been marketed as, quote, vaccines, unquote, for over a year, a Bayer pharmaceutical executive admitted to the public that they are, indeed, a form of gene and cell therapy marketed as vaccines to make the shots more palatable to the public. And this is a quote. We have really taken that leap to drive innovation. Us as a company, Bayer, in cell and gene therapies. Ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take a gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body? We probably would have had a 95% refusal rate, stated Bayer executive Stefan Ulrich. And he went on to say, our successes over these 18 months, which is the duration of the COVID pandemic, should embolden us to focus fully, much more closely, on access, innovation, and collaboration to unleash health for all. Especially as we enter, on top of everything else that is happening, a new era of science, the bio-revolution. Unquote. And we have another article here. Mysterious white clots found in deceased vaccinated individuals. And yes, I should say so. This is Lou speaking. I should say so. In addressing the comments of that gentleman from Bayer, when you put the mRNA operating system into your body by accepting clot shots. Mysterious white clots found in deceased vaccinated individuals. This is by Mary Villarreal, February 7th, at Natural News. The High Hopes channel on Brighteon.com recently shared a video of Dr. Jane Ruby's show discussing that the strange, never-before-seen white clots found in deceased vaccinated individuals. The clots are found in the veins and arteries of deceased people who have taken the Wuhan coronavirus vaccines, most of whom died suddenly due to cardiac arrest or stroke. Since speaking with board-certified embalmer Richard Hirschman, numerous others have come forward, with some scientists weighing in on the matter. People want to know what's inside of the white, fibrous pieces of clots that are being pulled out of dead bodies because they are blocking attempts at embalming. Host Jane Ruby showed a photo taken by Hirschman showing the clots. The clots extracted were very large, leg-length clots that formed a cast-like structure similar to a mold of the inside of the entire vessel. A video also showed that removal of the clot formation of the entire leg of an arterial vessel. Arteries carry oxygenated blood out into the body, while veins return deoxygenated blood back to the heart and lungs for reoxygenation, a redistribution, so to speak. Upon checking and washing the pieces of clots, Hirschman took samples and got a chemical and structural analysis of the materials that comprise the strange white fibers.
You and I saw it on a clip, a video clip. It was just gruesome, and it was the length pretty much of the whole leg, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. It was very impressive in a bad way.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
The clots are very fibrous with hair-like offshoots. And this is Lou again interjecting. When we looked at the video that Elizabeth just spoke of, we could clearly see this ominous white fibrous attachment that was the size of a man's leg. Now a very concerning update. In the week of February 21st to 25th, Dr. Ruby said she can no longer reach Dr. Hirschman by telephone. She said she was talking to him 2 to 3 times daily. Has something happened to him? We'll have to keep watching this story.
And we're going to have to pray for his safety.
Yes,
we are.
Exactly right.
We just wish we had hours for this program. We have so much material. I may have to shorten this a little bit. There's another expert, Dr. Suchant Bhakdi, and he thinks that the clots are made of the spike protein of the virus. And he says it's those cells, you know, lining the blood vessel. So in the lining of a blood vessel, the blood is in front and the cell takes up the gene. Then the cell starts to produce the gene. The cells line your blood vessels, all of your body and all organs. That cell is now going to start producing the gene. This virus gene is the spike protein of the virus, and it will start, you see, this coming out of the cell at the same time. Waste trash is produced of this protein that hasn't been used, and that trash that is producing the production, the cell places in front of itself. So you have the spike and the waste. Regrettably, there is another type of cell that comes around to see the trash, and this cell is the killer lymphocyte, and you kill it. Lymphocytes are trained to see the trash of viruses because then they will come and try to kill the cell that is daring to produce the virus, which is the cell that lines the wall, the tapestry of your wall blood vessels. This can happen anywhere. In other reports, COVID vaccines were seen to produce serious side effects related to blood clots, and we've heard many things about that, the strokes, the myocarditis, et cetera. And Ruby said, for now, this is an immune response. It's the body fighting, she said. One vascular surgeon said he removed clots surgically from a live patient, and within a few days or weeks, they continued to redevelop and fill the vessels. Lou, that's a very disturbing development.
Yes, I think scary is the word.
We may never get rid of this, those of the people who fell for these shots. So Ruby says, so this problem is upstream. If it is the mRNA driving the body, especially the endothelial cells in the vasculature, to produce the spike protein and a major clotting cascade. There'll be more about this. And the CDC, here's a headline, refuses to publish COVID booster shot data as promised, claims it will deter people from getting injected. We might get into that a little bit more later. There was a top French tennis star injured by COVID vaccine booster dose, and this is Gael Monfils. He's not French's, the French number one tennis star. And so he said he suffered a small health problem. But again, this bizarre kind of a delusion that has come, I think, from the reprobate mind throughout the world. Some of these bizarre reactions of the sheeple who are injured, they still defend taking the vaccination. So, you know, it's really interesting. He said, this was mon fils. Let's stop appropriating everyone's words for political purposes or simply to serve your convictions. I don't regret getting vaccinated at all. Everyone does what they want. And now we're moving more into the tyranny that's coming out of all this COVID situation. And we must get to Mike Lindell, what's happened. What do you have on six, Lou?
Chinese whistleblower warns the CCP has several virus bioweapons ready to be released.
Yes, now we've talked about that extensively on the program that we repeated, and we're still watching to see whether hemorrhagic fever will become the next pandemic. And at last call, we had known there were two cases in the UK, possibly a third. So we'll continue to watch that. Now, the next headline is Steve Bannon sounds alarm. U.S. government now targeting free speech of citizens. DHS bulletin, and that's the Department of Homeland Security, labels dissidents, quote, domestic terrorists. This was on Valentine's Day at Natural News by J.D. Hayes. The Democrat regime of Joe Biden is continuing to wage war on the Constitution and its political opponents by mislabeling them as terrorist threats to the U.S. homeland. Top-rated podcaster Steve Bannon of the Real America's Voice Network sounded the alarm earlier this week during a show when he highlighted a DHS bulletin that actually seeks to warn against and criminalize legitimate disagreements over Biden's increasingly far-left policies. The bulletin warned, "The United States remains in a heightened threat environment, fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation introduced and or amplified by foreign and domestic threat actors. These threat actors seek to exacerbate societal friction, to sow discord, and undermine public trust in government institutions to encourage unrest, which could potentially inspire acts of violence, mass casualty attacks, and other acts of targeted violence conducted by lone offenders and small groups acting in furtherance of ideological beliefs and/or personal grievances pose an ongoing threat to the nation. While the conditions underlying the heightened threat landscape have not significantly changed over the last year, the convergence of the following factors has increased the volatility, unpredictability, and complexity of the threat environment. One, the proliferation of false or misleading narratives, which sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions. Two, continued calls for violence directed at U.S. critical infrastructure, soft targets, and mass gatherings, faith-based institutions such as churches, synagogues, and mosques, institutions of higher education, racial and religious minorities, government facilities and personnel, including law enforcement and the military, the media, and perceived ideological opponents. And three, calls by foreign terrorist organizations for attacks on the United States based on recent events.
Standard political disagreement and debate has been labeled by the Biden regime as, quote, sowing discord, unquote, with an eye towards undermining public trust in government. That's basic First Amendment activity, and Biden is trying to criminalize it. The regime is also attempting to label standard political disagreement as spreading, quote, false or misleading narratives, unquote. Narratives that are found to be false or misleading are, of course, defined by the regime, even if they are not false and misleading. Again, persecution of speech that is supposedly protected under the Constitution. Ditto for mis, dis, and malinformation. Any narrative that is not approved by the regime will be deemed a conspiracy theory and thus treated as being fomented by domestic threat actors, which then ostensibly gives DHS and the regime the authority to move against these threat actors. if anyone is actually seeking to exacerbate societal friction, to sow discord, and undermine public trust in government institutions to encourage unrest, it is the Biden regime. Democrats always do what they accuse their opponents of doing. The January 6th incident in the Capitol did indeed involve some of then-President Donald Trump's supporters, but it was a false flag psyop, as several experts have pointed out. Innocent Trump supporters were whipped into a frenzy and took part in an operation aimed at breaching the Capitol so that Trump and his supporters could be deemed dangerous insurrectionists and therefore perpetually targeted by the Biden regime as threats to the homeland. This latest document is just a continuation of that psyop. Quote, "They are understanding that the American people, particularly the moms of America, have had a belly full of this authoritarianism," Bannon declared during a show segment to include Democratic and independent voters. He added, "The whole narrative is falling apart, and we're going to hammer that. If Republicans don't legitimately push back on all of this and hold each and every Democrat involved accountable once they win back control of Congress this November, our country will devolve into another civil war."
And we interrupt now to give an example of this kind of government despotism, the Gateway Pundit, February 14th, Valentine's Day, breaking: Mike Lindell gets unsigned letter from Minnesota Bank and Trust cowards to inform him his accounts have been closed. This was by Patty McMurray. On January 14th, 100% Fed Up reported about a phone call Mike Lindell's MyPillow controller received from Minnesota Bank and Trust Senior VP Thomas Cardle. In the call, Mr. Cardle asked Mike's controller to remove all nine of Mike's bank accounts from their bank before shutting them all down. The sniveling bank senior vice president explained to Mike Lindell's controller how banking is a, quote, privilege, and how the bank cannot shut down an account because of the customer's skin color, but apparently they can shut down your account over your political views. Mr. Cardle explained that they don't have an actual reason for shutting down Mike's My Store, an Amazon competitor, or his Lindell Recovery Center, a nonprofit Christian-based recovery center for addicts and alcoholics. Mike believes the real reason they want to shut down his nine accounts at the Minnesota Bank and Trust is because of his free speech social media platform, Frank Speech Account. During their recorded phone call, the MN Bank and Trust senior VP explained to Mike that the FBI might come sniffing around, and they wouldn't want that news to get out because it might harm their reputation. The bank's senior vice president also compared to MyPillow, MyStore, and Lindell Recovery Center CEO to a criminal who recently banked with them. Why are we connected with somebody who could be in the news? And not that the FBI is even sniffing and looking, but what if somebody came in and said, you know what, we're going to subpoena all of his account records and this and that, and then all of a sudden we make the news, so it's more of a reputation risk. On Friday, MN Bank and Trust followed through with their threat, but how they did it that has Mike Lindell calling them cowards. On Friday, at the end of the business day, Mike Lindell received an unsigned FedEx letter from the Heartland Financial MN Bank and Trust informing him that he has 7 days to remove the funds from the following accounts: Frank Speech, MyStore.com, Lindell TV, Lindell Management, which includes a lot of funds for his charitable work, and Lindell Publishing. Mike clarified that all profits from the sales of his book that tells his true life story, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO, go directly into his Lindell Recovery Center, a nonprofit Christian-based charity for addicts. Mike Lindell contacted me to share the letter and express his disgust over the cowardly actions of the individual who would send an unsigned letter at the end of the business day, preventing him from responding. Fortunately, Mike has a backup plan in place and will move his funds from the canceled accounts to one of two banks that will gladly take his money. Mike told me that a lot of great banks reached out to him and offered to take his business when they heard about the threats by MN Bank and Trust to shut down his accounts. They are smaller banks, not the big ones, but there are still a lot of good people out there, he said. And we know that there are a lot of good people out here in radio land listening to the Divided Kingdom. You are helping us in an emergency time for us financially to stay on the air. And if you would like to help us again, we will take cash. We will take money orders. But checks can be only written either to Global Star Communications or to WWCR. Either would be good right now to help us. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, because our country is beyond being in a serious situation. Basically, I believe that America has fallen, but not the Christian people, the remnant. They're still an America of their own, you see. They're a Christian church of their own. Lou and I can't go back to these churches in which the pastors advise their parishioners to take abortive fetal cell shots. No, no way could we do that. If you would like to help us, you can even send some postal stamps. I just used my last one today. You can send whatever you can do to Lou Caverly, capital L-O-U, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, to Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And again, that is Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And as we continue this theme, next week we'll be talking a little more about this, I'm sure. Christians are increasingly under attack. And here's just a little bit more from LifeSite News to give this portrait of the Department of Homeland Security with this terrorism advisory. It was issued February 7th, and it expires June the 7th. And it states that while a number of security conditions have not changed significantly over the past year, there is this convergence of factors that could sow discord or undermine public trust in U.S. government institutions and, quote, potentially inspire acts of violence. Isn't there a lot of egg on their face when we have to think about how our country and NATO badgered the bear, till now we're looking at a possible nuclear destruction of our whole planet? So let's hope and pray for some saner mind and repentance and turning by great numbers, millions of people in America and in the world, to Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness and then salvation. Good night.